I found myself not able to do nothing, but the boy, he can. The Lord can do it. Well, it's good to see everybody this morning again. I'm so glad you come here for your first time. I'm glad you come this way. I appreciate this family. I love to see family serving the Lord together.
Yeah.
And I love to see anybody serving the Lord, but it's always a joy to see a family participating together and singing and serving, and I appreciate them. Charity, hold your hand up, if you will. Charity, everybody, hold your hand up. If anybody needs to know anything about homecoming, see Charity, okay? She got her hand up back there. Somebody said, well, who is Charity? Well, that's her right there. She'll take care of you, okay? All right. Everybody all right? Yes? Yes. Well, great. Yeah. Yeah, God can.
Yes,
that's what they just sung. God can. See, we can't, but God can. Why do we worry? Why do we fret? Huh? Why? Yeah. See, you can't do it anyway. You understand? You know you can't fix nothing. You know you can't change nothing. And he can. He can. Well, we thank the Lord for all that. Turn to Psalm 68. We're going to try to encourage you a little bit today if we can. Try to help you a little bit. I cannot stand here without stressing your need for Christ if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. People perish every day, and my job as a Christian, not as a preacher, my job as a Christian is to be a witness. Now, my duty as a pastor is to feed you that are saved. One of the things that's required for me to feed you is that you show up for feeding time. That's one of the things that's required. You know, I can prepare a meal, you know, from the Word of God that's going to help you, but if you're never here, then it ain't going to do you much good. So we want you to think about that. If you are getting a little weak, maybe you need to show up more. Now, I'm not growling at you if you missed a Sunday or two. That ain't what I'm saying. We understand what I'm doing. Everybody okay with that? We understand. And live stream, I love live stream because there's some shut-in that get to watch it. But the live stream was not put in effect for those who's able to come to church and too lazy to come. Okay? Everybody understand that? I want to make sure that's clear. Okay, now if you can't come and shut in, I'm tickled to death we got it. Because there's been times it's been a help to so many. All right? But I'm afraid that we've used it as a crutch, and we'd rather sit at home with our cup of coffee and our pajamas and watch church and live for the world as come to the house of God where we need to be, fellowshipping one with another, and doing our part. Now, again, when we need it, it's necessary, it's good, it's great, it's great. But we've got far too many crutches. And it's time we walk a little bit. It's time we walk with the Lord. It's time we walk for the Lord and with the Lord. All right? Is everybody okay with that? And I just want you to know that's just as simple. The greatest need, again, is that you have Christ as your Savior. Seeing so many that are nonchalant about life, and they don't care about life. We worried about this life. The Bible plainly says if you only have hope in this life, then you're most miserable. If all you have is hope in this life, go back and read 1 Corinthians 15, and you'll find that there. If you only have hope in this life, you are all of all men most miserable. There's more to it than this life. There's another life. There's a life in Christ. There's a life with Christ. There's a life in eternity with Christ. And you need to be prepared for that. There's a lot going on. I am thankful that they had Bridge Day. I'm glad they had it. And they can always have it. And unless they invite me to preach at it, I won't be going to it. If they ever invite me to preach to it, that'd be a good crowd to preach to. I think they had a wedding on there. I don't know if they jumped afterward or not. May have been a fitting thing to do. But I think they did have a wedding on the bridge yesterday. Now, I've seen so many people exercise faith. 150,000 people walked out on that bridge. That's a lot of faith. I see them. I see them on there. They had a thing. They was walking under the bridge, and they all hooked their little safety rope. They walked out on the bridge, exercising faith. Then them gentlemen and ladies who jumped off. Wow. That's all I'm saying is wow. Huh? Now, I'm not scared of heights at all. I'm not even scared of falling. I ain't scared of hitting if it ain't very high. But you know, I just don't see no point in jumping off a perfectly good bridge. I just don't see. And they was happy about me. They was jumping off. They was turning somersets. You know, they was going, they was doing all that twisting, and I said, boy, what if that thing don't, if that get tangled up when they go to flip around? That's how it's going to be. But I'm sure they was all Christians. Just like everybody else is. I'm sure they was. I'm sure they exercise that faith on the bridge and jumping off, and exercise faith in a parachute, exercise faith that they was going to be able to get it to where they needed to be on that little, if you've never been under that beach down there at Penn Station, ain't very big. It ain't as big as this room. Okay? And then some of them purposely went in the river. So they exercise faith in them guys that's going to get them out. They just exercise faith that them guys are going to reach their hand down and grab them. Look at all that faith that they were doing themselves. And then I watch people do it every Sunday. I watch people step out in danger. And I watch people determined that they're going to use their own strength to save themselves and all their abilities and all that they do, and trust another man or another woman to pull them in, but they won't trust God. And I'm sure there's some here this morning that's done everything but trusted the Lord. You've trusted everybody. You know, we trust doctors, we trust nurses, and that's fine. I know you got to have, I don't want to put a damper on anybody y'all know that I'm crazy, and I love a practical joke. I just wonder, has anybody ever went to a doctor and you only seen him one time and you never saw him again? Has anybody ever done that other than me? I mean, you seen him one time and you never saw him again. I wonder, was that really a doctor? Was that the janitor that just went through and put on a white coat and come in there just to pull a joke on somebody? Because you never see him, you never get a bill from him, you never hear from him, you just wonder. Huh? I know I messed up. If I worked in a hospital, I wonder if I would do that. Can y'all see me doing that? Yeah. Think about that. The next time you go to the doctor, you're going to wonder. You get a new doctor, you're going to wonder. What I'm trying to show you is we put faith in everything, but boy, we have a hard time trusting the Lord. I just want you to trust the Lord this morning, all right? Psalm 68 is where we're at. Y'all okay? Let me give you just a few thoughts this morning. Let's pray together. Father, I come. Lord, you're wonderful to us. And Lord, my mind, you already know my mind. It's messed up and running everywhere. And Lord, I need you to give me clarity. I need you to speak to our hearts. And Lord, I just want to magnify your name. You're worth trusting. Lord, you're worth following. You're worth loving. You're worth living for. You're worth me receiving you, and then you take care of the rest. Lord, you're worth it all. And Lord, I pray that others may see that today. Lord, without a doubt, I believe there'll be someone here this morning that don't know you. Lord, may this be the day that they decide they're not going to reject you, but they're going to receive you as their Savior today. Believe on you, and you'll do the saving. And Lord, I'm glad for that. They don't have to reach out to a man. If they'll just reach out to you, God, I know you'll do the saving for Christ's sake. Now, Lord, speak to our heart. Let the Word of God encourage us and help us and strengthen us. And we're going to praise your name together. We're going to magnify your name together. Lord, you're worth it all. And we love you and we appreciate you. Now, please, cleanse me that I would be not a hindrance but a help, and give me a power, that special touch that I need to preach just now. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name, and amen. You know, when we think of Jesus Christ, when we, anytime we come to church, you know, that name's always mentioned. And we, of course, think immediately of salvation. You know, Christ, a perfect man, God in the flesh. I believe we can think of that. A lot of time we'll think immediately of Calvary. Some be good if we had our mind on Calvary more than what we do. We can even think of the empty tomb, and I'm glad for an empty tomb. All that's related to Christ. I'm glad that I look forward to Him coming again. I believe that Jesus is coming again. I believe He's going to come in the air and call us up and saved and call us up. I believe that. Then I believe He's going to come after the tribulation period and set His feet down on the Mount of Olives, and all the mountain will split, and then He's not coming for salvation. He's coming to clip off heads, and it's not going to be a good time when He comes after the tribulation period. It's not going to be coming to rescue. He's going to be come because He said, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay." It's what the Scripture says, and I want you to understand that. But all that He gives us now, you understand that everything that we have today is that we might come to Christ. Do you understand that? Now, He made this world, and the world is beautiful. I mean, nobody paints a picture like it's painted this year. People say, "Well, the leaves ain't like they was last year." No, they'll never be like this again. They'll never be like they was last year. Cheryl showed me a picture last night. She said, "This ain't this year." And it showed the picture of Kanawha River right in front of the Capitol. And then maples down there, they were so pretty. I mean, they were just glistening in gold. And I said, "I don't think that's this year's picture." And she said, "I didn't think so." Every picture is different. But you know, all of that is to show God's power in nature. I told you the other night about me looking out and seeing the stars and seeing whatever I seen go across. There wasn't no UFO. Well, I reckon it was. That's just me, an unidentified flying object. I didn't know what I was seeing, but it was beautiful, whatever it was. It wasn't no little green men, I know that. But you do know that there's no other people nowhere else, don't you? On no other universe. You know they have the Miss Universe pageant every year. You know everybody from Earth so far has been the winner. You know that. You do know there's nobody else, don't you? Just wanted to make sure you knew that. Okay, but all these things that the Lord has done is that we might get to see Him. He gave us a conscience, the stars, the birds sing, and all of us to show a Creator God. Everything like this, the storms that come, the wind that blows, everything, you know, everything. The fish in the sea, I mean, do you ever understand? You know, the fish stay in the water. They don't come and walk around on dry ground. They stay in there. And think about that. Do you ever understand why fresh water goes in the sea and the sea salty? Do you ever understand that? Do you ever understand that all that water vapors goes back up in the sky, and when it rains, it ain't salt water, it's fresh water? and then it goes in the ground and comes out and it pulls back in and it's all. You ever understand? You know that just don't happen, don't you? You know that's not evolution. That's the Creator. All that was done that men and women, boys and girls, might look and see God and see His greatness and His power. Huh? To see our bodies and how our bodies are. David said it right. We're wonderfully made. We're magically made. I mean, it's amazing how everything runs together. And you got things in your body like Barney Fife said, down to where everything gets close together, and nobody knows how it works. And it's just the way it is. And that's all that you might see, that there's a wonderful God, a big God. We watch the animals. You know, everything's made that, all right, we got deer season in now, and they'll be breeding does, the bucks will, and they'll be dropping fawns in the spring. Now, you know, it makes sense to do that in the fall, that they'll breed in the fall, because if they bred in the spring, they wouldn't have nothing to eat in the fall. They wouldn't have no grain. Everything's dead. So they breed in the fall, so they have all the green grasses and everything to eat in the spring. I mean, do you ever just think about little things like that? That God done that on a purpose. Now, that ain't evolved or it would change. That's the same way all the time, okay? And it's done like that, that we might see that there's a God, and He's interested in us. He's interested in you being with Him. See, I don't know where you're from or who you are, but I know this, that God is interested in you being with Him for eternity. And not only is He interested in you being with Him, He wants to be with you now. He wants you to walk with Him now in this life, and He wants to give you far more than you can ever imagine in this life, and then He's going to take you out of the world and give you more than you could ever dream of out of the world. All because He's great, and He wants you to enjoy that. And Psalm 68... If I can preach this, I don't even know if I'll be able to preach it. I ain't going to do it justice. I already know that. Let's look at Psalm 68. Let's look at verse 19. 19 and 20 is what we want to read to you just for a moment. Everybody ready? Psalm 68, verse 19. It said, blessed be the Lord. That's good. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Selah. Now think about it. That's what that means. Think on that right there. Verse 20 says, He that is our God is the God of salvation. And unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. Now I'm going to go back and preach to you just for a minute. Back on verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefit. Benefits. I want to preach about them benefits this morning. The benefits. You know, a lot of people like benefits. Y'all, anybody like benefits? You know, there's benefits. A lot of people go to work and they get an hourly rate. And you know, nobody used to be when you went to work. People want to know what they're going to get paid hour. They don't ask it no more. They want the benefits. They ain't worried about the hourly rate. First thing anybody asks now to get a job is how many days you want me to be here. The first thing they're concerned about is how many days I got to show up. Because I'm not planning on being here all week. So how many days is going to be required for me to work here? They already figured they're going to be lazy. All right, that's when they start a job. Huh? Am I telling you the truth? See, when I started work, it was how many days can I stay without you making me go home? I want to know how many hours I can work. Now it's how many hours do I have to work. See, things have changed. All right? Everybody understand that. But what people want, you know, they say, you know, I'm going to change jobs because I don't have the benefits are better over here. The benefits are better. And then benefits are things that you ain't got no control over. The benefits don't matter, really, how many hours you work, how good you are. The benefits is something that is offered you and given you in a package by the employer or the owner that wants to do something for you, hoping then that you will achieve more for him because he's going to give you benefits. That's really what benefits are. Now, sometimes it's insurance. Sometimes it's sick time. Sometimes it's bonuses. Sometimes it's additional medical care. You know how we get all these benefits. Sometimes it's retirement. Well, the Lord gives that. The Lord gives plenteous medical care. You know that. I believe it says over in Proverbs about He healeth all our diseases. That's pretty good medical care, ain't it? Talk to me. That's some of His benefits. Now, ain't no way we can talk about all these benefits. We're just gonna mention a few. He don't give much insurance, but He gives blessed insurance. Yes. That's pretty good benefits, ain't it? He really don't give you no time off. Well, one day a week He gives you time off from labor. He expects you to work 6 days. All right. He in fact, He kind of insists that you work 6 days, rest one. All right. So just think about that. But the pay is wonderful. He's never wrote a bad check, never been late. I've worked for people, they still owe me. Now, I don't know whether maybe my work wasn't enough to get paid for. I don't know, but I'll never forget. I was down 20 miles, got a job, didn't last long, worked it out in 3 days. Well, the whole job shut down. That's they hired me. The whole job shut down. I don't know if I was a good worker or what happened. But I went down and worked in the mines, and they finally got me underground. I rebuilt a speed reducer on a unit tack on the scoop, and then they had me run the end loader. And they wanted me to move a stockpile, move all the belt outside. And I got all that done, and they said, don't come back. They shut the whole thing down. But you never did get paid for that. Never did. I always see the owner that done that. Oh, I see him all the time. In fact, he's from Nicholas County, and I see him every so often. I always think, he owes me 3 days' pay. I always think about that. But I don't ever go broke. As long as he owes me, I'll never go broke. So. But they just things like that, But the Lord never been late on paying you. Never been late on. He never wrote a bum check. Never had to worry if he was going to do what he said he would do. Benefits. Just benefits. Now, the hourly rate he pays is far more than we're worth. You understand that, don't you? When you're worth nothing and you get paid in. You ever work with somebody that wasn't worth nothing? Talk to me. Did you not ever work with somebody that wasn't worth nothing? And you expected them to turn around and back up to get their payday? Did you ever work like that? Something maybe one half, you wasn't worth much, and you just kind of had to back up to get your payday because you couldn't look the man in the eye? All the time. Like an honest soul. I've worked with him and for him. He's telling it right. But the Lord already knows you ain't going to do nothing. I want everybody to look at me. The Lord already knows you're worthless. The Lord knows you're worthless and you're not worth killing, and He's going to pay you anyhow. Ain't that amazing? The Lord already knows you done messed up. You've done tore. I worked for Dave Butler and I tore up everything he had. But without me, he didn't have no production at all. He was in a bind. I could either tear it all up and he had going, and we just had to keep buying stuff to stay in business. That's the truth. Ain't it, Butler? It's the truth. I can cut a lot of trees, but you just had to buy a lot of saws. But the Lord already knows we're worthless. He knows that you're not worth the pattern of lead to blow you up, and He says here, well, I'm going to give you this benefit. You're not going to earn them. You're never going to do enough for me. For what I'm going to give you, you're never going to do enough. I'm just going to go ahead and I'm going to put that in your benefit package. All right? And all you got to do is just come on and receive it. It's just that simple. I never did work for somebody that I didn't show up to go to work. Do you know that? All these other companies run around here, they don't send me checks. Don't you find that odd? No, you don't find that odd because, Mark, you don't work for them. You have no dealings with them. See, a lot of us, we get benefits from the Lord and we don't have no dealings with them. But the main benefit you're not getting because you don't have no dealings with the Lord. But if you go ahead and come and receive Him, the benefit you'll get is far better than you are getting right now. See, He reigns on the just and the unjust, the Bible says. He lets your garden grow just like He does other people's garden grow. He keeps you safe on the highway to an extent just like He does other people who are believers. He lets the doctors take care of you just like you. You know, the believers ain't the only ones that have miracles in the hospitals. There's unbelievers that have miracles too. You know that? See, He gives certain things to everybody. But there's some things you can't get unless you sign on the dotted line and receive Christ as your Savior. There's some things you can't get. And that's really the benefits this morning. I want to preach about this for a minute. The benefits of grace. The benefits of grace. Can we just think a little bit? You know, the benefits, you know, I looked it up. The word says it's advantages or gain or payment at the cost of another. I said, wow, I like that already. I like benefits. It's advantages and gains and profits at the expense of another. I'm glad this morning because of the amazing grace of God that I've got benefits this morning. Hey, are you glad for some benefits? Maybe after I show you a few, maybe you'll enjoy them here. Huh? And then we're talking about not just benefits, who daily loadeth us with benefits. This is what the Scripture says. I get them every day. Well, what do I get every day? Well, I get mercy every day. That's true. But I get grace every day. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound has saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, hey, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I got benefits, man. I got benefits. Huh? I got benefits. I do. I got them. Grace is a divine gift of unmerited favor from God, which enables, listen, this is what the dictionary said I read this morning. I know it wasn't Webster, it was just some meaning I found on the computer, hickey thing. It said a divine gift of unmerited favor from God, which enables one to overcome temptation and receive salvation. I said, now that's a pretty good definition of grace. Huh? Can I read that again? Because everybody didn't hear it. A divine gift of unmerited favor from God, which enables one to overcome temptation and receive salvation. You know that without grace, you can't receive salvation. And you know that without grace, you can't even overcome temptation without the grace of God. You can't do nothing without the grace of God. You realize that? Ain't that something? Them just benefits. That's what they are, benefits. I thought about the benefits and how they work, you know, and it's in spite of ourselves. You know, I worked in Union Mines years ago. I worked in the coal mines, Union Mines, and you know, everybody all know. Now, if you're a union man, that's fine. I'm not a union man. I hate to say that, but I'm not a union man because of what I worked around. Not everything's like that, but what I worked around, the union just protected lazy people. And if you're a union man, that's fine. I'm not going to holler at you about it. Okay, everybody understand that? But everybody got the same thing. So the fella sat there in the rib. I worked in inside the mine. The fella sat over in the rib and done nothing. He got the same pay I got. He got the same benefits. He got the same sick days. He got the same floating days. He had the same insurance pays. He got the same bathhouse pay. He got everything. If they brought in a lunch, he got to eat. If they brought in a special lunch, he got the lunch. And he didn't have to hit a tap of the snake. Especially if he was friends with the boss. The boss didn't make him work, and he wasn't going to anyway. I mean, I've had him actually move so I could work. I may ask him, will you move so I can work? And they get up and move. They wouldn't going to work, but they get up and move. All right? So sometimes benefits are given to people, like I said, that deserve nothing. Can I tell you this morning just how sorry a lot we are? Can I go ahead and start there? Because you're not going to appreciate some of the benefits I'm going to give you until I show you how sorry we are. All right? How about Psalms 103? Is everybody with me? Let's talk about benefits of grace. All right? And I promise you, we'll be out of the regular time here. Psalms 103, verse 14. You know what it says? For He knoweth our frame. He remembers that we are dust. He knows your frame. He knows you up one side and down the other. And He says, here, have a bushel. Huh? He said, I know you, how sorry and trifling you are. Here, I'll just give you a truckload. Have more than a handful on purpose. I'll just give you some grace and benefits plumb out your ears. Huh? That's how he is. That's how he is. And he knows us. Now, the reason I know that, the reason I know that his benefits are equal and everywhere because of some of the benefits that start. Because of the benefits of grace, he overlooks our problems. I don't know about you, but I got problems. In case you never noticed. I've got issues. You may have got issues. Huh? You may have got problems. Huh? I've got pride problems. I've got rebellious problems. Anybody else? Chris and Becky, do they have any rest of them? Some of you got lying problems. Right, some of you just bald-faced liars. All right. That's just the easiest way I can say it. All right. But can I tell you, we all got problems. But let me tell you what he does. What does he do with our... See, my problems all are sinful problems. You know, I have no good problems. Do you? I don't have no righteous problems. All I got sinful problems. Can anybody agree to that? Well, look here, say in Psalms 103. Let's look at verse 10. I'm talking about benefit of grace. That's giving you what you don't deserve. Look at verse 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquity. How about me just go and tell you, if that ain't one of the greatest benefits of grace, I don't know what is this morning. Because he's not giving you what you deserve according to your sins, according to your iniquities, of how selfish and prideful and hateful and mean and dirty and low down you are, rebellious against the things of God, the unbelief, the lack of faith, the unchristian attitude, the unchristian walk and talk. Can I tell you, all of that he gives you an abundance of grace that just daily loads you with benefits this morning. Huh? Ain't that wonderful? I just had to pick a few because we'd be here for days and days. But my problem, he sees what kind of person I am, and he sees I got problems. He says, well, here's some grace. You don't deserve it. You don't deserve me to spit on you. But I ain't going to do that. I'm going to give you far more than you deserve. That's grace. How about y'all ready for another? Now, he don't deal with us according to our iniquities. Now, there's a reason why. Do you know that God knows everything? Now, we say that, but do you know that? You know, he knows everything. See, he's omnipotent, meaning he's all power. He's all powerful. All right, he's omnipresent, meaning he's present everywhere at once at all times. Always present. All right, but he's omniscient, and there's nothing that he don't know. He knows everything. Everybody understand that? Now he knows everything from way back there when there wasn't nothing to way out yonder for whatever there is. He knows everything. Now, he don't just know everything about him. He knows everything about everything. Amen. He knows everything about everything and everyone. He knows everything about everything and everything about everyone all the time, and he's always there seeing it. But he chooses to forget. How about Hebrews chapter 10? How about Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17? Now, you don't have to enjoy this if you don't want to. But Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17 says, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more.
Oh, come on.
Is that a benefit or not? How many got some iniquities and sin? Let me tell you what he does with his grace. He forgets them. He forgets them. We say, well, what's he do with them? Well, I've been talking about Micah chapter 7. Micah chapter 7 verse 19, he says, he will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Hey, can I tell you, he forgets them. He throws them over. He subdues them, throws them over where ain't nobody can mess with them. That's a benefit of grace. I don't know about you, but I'm glad he remembers I'm but dust. I don't know about you this morning, but I'm glad he don't deal with me according to my iniquity and my sin. But I'm more glad that he don't remember the sins that I've had in the past. I don't know about you, but I've done some things and said some things and been some places. But oh, I wish I could go back and change and wipe away. But I cannot. It's etched in my memory. It's etched in my mind. Oh, but when it comes to him who is altogether lovely, who is perfect and pure and holy and righteous, when he looks at me, he has chosen. Though he knows everything, he made a constant choice. The payment of another giving me grace, he made a conscious choice. I'm going to forget that. How does a holy God that knows everything choose to not know that no more? Is that not big? Is that not? I don't know of any benefit that's any better, huh? I don't need no sick days or floating days, huh? I don't need no personal time off. I've got a God who has chosen to forget my sin. I've got a God who is just, oh, you might remember. You might even send me a paper on it. You might call it up in conversation, but not the Holy God of heaven. Ain't that wonderful? I think it's most wonderful myself. Huh? Do you know what else? The benefit of grace? That he knows I'm going to mess up. He knows it. See, sometimes we'll come to church and we'll allow we're hitting on all cylinders. I'm all right. See, I don't need church once a week. I don't need preaching. It's always the same thing. I don't need preaching. I don't need to. I read the Bible before. Huh? You didn't hear anybody say that? I've read the Bible before, yeah. You ain't been reading it lately, until. Huh? But he's still okay. But you know he knows all that. He knows all that. See, I may be hitting on 8 cylinders right now. I probably won't have to fly. See, probably 4 of the days out, I will probably take out foot, insert in mouth sideways, and try to speak. In fact, I for real guarantee it. Maybe before I'm done. Y'all ever done that? See, I'll probably think something about you that won't be right. Some of you may die in my mind today. Well, listen, I'm honest with that. I don't know a lot of things, but I ain't going to lie to you. I'm a sorry scoundrel, but I ain't going to lie to you. All right. Amen. Huh? Some of you are going to suffer in my mind. I'm making you suffer. I got that voodoo doll. I'm sticking pins in you right now. You say, preacher, you don't do that? You mean you don't have someone in your mind that you stick needles in hoping that they hurt? You know, bitterness? Huh? Everybody understand that? I would rest assured that 99 9/10 of people's got some bitterness. The other percent just don't know it yet. Job 23. I just want you to know this. To me, this is a benefit. You may not think it's a benefit, but I believe it'll be a benefit. Verse 10. But he knoweth the way that I take. He knows. And when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He knoweth. Can I read that again? I don't know, y'all. Y'all understand this? But he knoweth the way that I take. And when he's tried me, I shall come forth like gold. That's pretty good benefit this morning. My path ain't always the path I ought to be, but he knows. He knows. He puts up with it. Now, y'all laugh at me when I talk about my path and what I do. But look at you. Just how dumb are you? You see how dumb I am. You see how sorry I am. But just how sorry are you? Huh? A lot of times the only thing different is I go ahead and I open with mine. But let's be right serious. Just how sorry are you? Just how neglectful are you? And he knows the way you take. But when he's finished, you come forth like gold. He'll go ahead and he's not going to just spray some gold paint on you. You'll come forth like gold. You'll be this was worth. You'll be worth as much as gold is. Is that okay for a benefit? I don't want to discourage you this morning, but the only bad thing is if you don't receive Christ, you don't get the benefit. See, if I had a company and I'd offer you, listen, you only have to work half days and I'll pay you for a day and a half. How would that be? Huh? You get 150 days off every year with pay. Anybody come to work for me? I'll pay you double what anybody else will pay you. Anybody come to work for me? It don't matter what anybody's paying you, I'll pay you double. Huh? I'll pay you cash and we won't even turn it in Uncle Sam. I mean, nobody will know. How about that? Y'all come to work for me? Y'all come work for me? But the only thing is, you got to come to work for me. You got to sign your name on the dotted line to receive everything off you. See, that's where the rub comes in. Because you say, I don't know whether he'll do that or not. Now we're back where we started about all the people that do things by faith. You're going to have to believe. You're going to have to believe that the Lord will do these things. Now all this is done, can I tell you, that we might go to a place. Can I tell you the greatest benefit of all? Huh? How about John 14? See, I just give you a simple message. My messages are so simple. John chapter 14. Everybody okay? Yeah. Let not your heart be troubled. Do you believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I think that's a pretty good benefit. That he's given me my own place. And he's going to be there when I get there. That's pretty good benefit. But see, none of that works if you don't come and receive. You're going to have to receive it this morning. See, I think about eternal life. You know what? You realize what eternal life is. That's life without end, don't you? You understand that? Huh? You know, I'm going to a land where there's no problems. I'm going to a land where there's no trials. I'm going to a land where there's no temptation, where there's no sickness, where there's no pain, where there's no separation. I'm going to a land that is fairer than day. I am going to a land beyond the sunset. I'm going to a place that's better than anything anybody can imagine. Some of y'all have traveled. Y'all went to Europe and you've seen Ireland and all that green, all them green people over there. That's what that fella said. All them green people all over, all them little short green people all over in Ireland. You've been on cruises. You've been Shane goes out, went out west and saw all that country out there hunting. Oh, Colin out there killing big elk. Y'all know our buddy Colin says over, killed a humongous elk out there in Wyoming. I hope he falls and bruises his knee. No, it's huge. And I mean, it's magnificent, huh? They've seen things that we'll never see, huh? But none of that compares to what's over there, huh? I was listening the other day, me and the family singing there by the piano. Before Philip ever wrecked, Cheryl's playing, Marcus is in, and they was singing, there's a city of gold, or city of light, where there cometh no night. Old Philip was a singing. Huh? We singing about heaven. Huh? Man, words can't even explain. Huh? I think that's pretty good benefit. Y'all know the song, don't you? There's coming a day when no heartaches shall come. No more clouds in the sky. No more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand, leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no more pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved me.
Come on.